I'm a fast-talking PI. I'm a power-walking PI. I'm a demographic hieroglyphic fact-sheeting PI. I'm a theorizing PI. I'm a strategizing PI. I'm a published in a peer-reviewed journal PI. I'm a slot machine PI. I'm a lotto queen PI. I'm a tote ticket church bingo TAB PI. I'm a vegan PI, a rainbow warrior PI. I'm a protest sign against the rising waters PI. I'm a crim PI, behind the bar graphs PI. I'm a gun smoking patch totin king cobra PI. I'm a fale PI. I'm a marae PI. I'm a living, breathing dwelling of my ancestors PI. I'm a diabetic PI. I'm a heart diseased PI. I'm a CMDHB case study PI. I'm a lazy PI. I'm a glue crazy PI. I'm a hard drinking, hard speaking, where my kids at PI. I'm a land-based PI. I'm a whanua PI. I'm a village is the center of my world PI. I'm a harvesting PI, a copper sacking PI. I'm a biting beef cause no more fish and reef PI. I'm a Siva Samoa PI. I'm an Ava pouring PI. I'm a Tula Fale tonguing genealogy PI. I'm an independent PI. I'm a flag raising PI. I'm a fa'a loving, 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 giving, living PI. I'm a still PI. I'm a broken PI. I'm a wheelchair bound from drunky westy driver PI. I'm a standing PI. I'm a beehive PI. I'm a Labour MP gonna be PM one day PI. I'm a quiet PI. I'm a small PI. I'm a take no lunch to school today but anyway PI. I'm an all black PI. I'm an all white PI. I'm a gold, silver, bronze, blue street signed PI. I'm an angry PI. I'm a dawn raided PI. I'm a crouching poly panther in grey lin PI. I'm a shark tooth PI. I'm a tato PI. I'm a malu and a better flying fox let loose PI. I'm an inking PI. A storytelling PI. An awarded Commonwealth Best First Book PI. I know how to be in this world. I know how to feed in its waters. I know how to read the stars and seabirds. I know how to live off poetry. I know how to give it away. I'm a property PI. A self-employed PI. I'm a mocha drinking, horn-rimmed glass and real TV PI. I'm a movin' PI. I'm a groovin' PI. I'm a Nisian mystic stratospheric whippin' it PI. I'm a crumpin' PI. A go-for-God PI. I'm a colour-free gangster wannabe for the Lord PI. I'm a BA PI. I'm an MA PI. I'm a PhD Become LLB MD PI. I'm a bi PI. I'm a gay PI. I'm a cross-gendered, soul-blended, mascarad PI. I'm a coloured PI. I'm a canvassed PI. An acrylic oil PVC 4x2 PI. I'm a bit of both PI. A chameleon PI. A hybrid mongrelized, self-satisfied PI. I'm a shadowing PI. I'm a fathoming PI. I'm an ocean. I'm the wave. I'm the depths of it PI. I'm a territorial PI. I'm a pure blood PI. I'm a border language stop, do not pass, go PI. I'm a freezing works PI. I'm an IT PI. I'm a sewing, stuffing, soaking, shaking, stirring PI. I'm a Talanoa PI. I'm a Tava PI. I'm the space, the time, the tune, the transcending PI. I'm a pair of Jimmy Choos. I'm a size 12 in fuchsia, please. I'm a no-shoe fits the foot of an earth mama PI. I'm a royal PI. I'm a commoner PI. I'm a coup-supported UNU-deported PI. I'm a White Sunday PI, an LMS PI. I'm a born-again, no mandatory tithing PI. I'm Tihei, that firstborn breath. I'm that pulsating chord. I'm that breaking water. I'm that loose knot threatening to tighten. I'm that blood clot PI, that top knot PI, that loosener of sun and skin and brothers PI. I'm a lover PI, I'm a mama PI, I'm a breastfeed till they tell you I'm done now PI. I'm a Nafanua PI, I'm a warrior PI, I'm the breast kept secret in ancient Samoan warfare PI. I'm a dub 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 PI, a Bebo PI, I'm a Tapa notebook on NZEPC PI. I'm a melting pot PI, an homogenous PI, I'm a skim milk green top fat free heterogeneous PI. I'm a 360 PI, I'm a Sawadi PI, I'm a finger licking KFC MDBK PI, I'm a new FM PI, I'm a curtain stage PI, I'm a naked and I'm laughing and cartooning PI. I'm a vaka PI, I'm a star charting PI, I'm a navigating by Nissan Navara PI. I'm a long poem PI, I'm a long song PI, I'm a smooth crooner softly lullabying PI. I'm a red lipstick PI, I'm a big haired PI, a multicolored silhouetted fafafine PI. I'm a crying PI, I'm a laugh too loud PI, I'm a my gender your mouth Derek wannabe PI. I'm a lali, I'm where we once belonged. I'm a dream fish floating. I'm wild dogs under my skirt. I'm searching for Nene Manoa. I'm a native daughter. I'm poets du Pacifique en couleur. I'm light in the crevice never seen. I'm girl in the moon circle. I'm new voices. I'm songs of love. I'm me mere, I'm houses, I'm a pinnacle. I'm a nuanua. I'm blackstone. I'm tapa talk, I'm kakala and langakali. And hingano. I'm Thai, heart of a tree. I'm colonized people. I'm praying parents. I'm breadfruit in front of honey and tiare. I'm a shark skin drum. I'm Solaua, secret embryo. I'm Fetu Moana. I'm a young artist in contemplation. I'm the choice of your parents. I'm an act of war. I'm Eros. And I'm power. I'm Nabuka Vivine Malili Pazima Roviana. I'm threads of a Tivaivai. I'm an alchemist. I'm a fast talking PI.
Selena Tusitala-Marsh, what kind of PI are you today?
I'm a mophead PI. That's what I am. I've got my hair flying wildly. I've just come from Waiheke Trail Tribe boot camp on Onatangi Beach, and when we decided to have an impromptu swim, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Good, so Dr. here. Selena Tusitala-Marsh is with me, and today is the launch of your graphic autobiographical novel.
Yeah.
I was trying to make that into a fancy word. A
mini memoir, I call it.
Autobiographical. Yeah.
It's a bit of a mouthful. I prefer mophead mini memoir.
Okay.
Because it's got the alliteration. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're first and foremost a poet, but as we just heard, you kind of take that poetry into different settings. You've taken it to musical settings, now you're taking it into the setting of a graphic novel. So what's behind that? You know, it's
wow. What really is behind it is quite deeply ideological in terms of who I am and how I am at the University of Auckland as a Pacifica poet scholar. And for me, it's all about getting the stories out there to the most broadest audience. And when I became the New Zealand Poet Laureate in 2017, it's a 2-year tenure, and I learned that the story of the tokotoko, or the carved Māori walking stick, was part of the laureateship, and I didn't really know that much about it. So if I didn't know much about it, being an academic in the English department, the University of Auckland, how would kind of common folk know about this extraordinary way of telling our tales? And so I wanted to take the laureateship story out of its elite wrapping and explode it, like in schools and communities in particular.
Because it does seem like a kind of ivory tower kind of thing, doesn't it? This concept of a poet laureate. And I think, you know, because people associate poet laureate, you know, they kind of perhaps don't know so much about the New Zealand poet laureate, but they'll know the Queen has a poet and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it seems kind of quite elite, high level. Yeah.
Well, considering we've had the laureateship since 1996 and I'm the 11th poet laureate, and I'm the 5th woman, and I'm the first Pacifica poet laureate, and people still don't really know what this is about. And so I made it my mission over the 2 years to get the word out there, to spread the good word. And having a graphic mini-memoir help tell that tale was the most commonsensical way for me to reach kids. But it's also a book for all ages, because it's because of the drawn line, I could get a lot of subtlety and in-jokes in there for adults.
Yeah, and so you've done the drawing as well?
Yeah. I was in my publisher's office and we were talking about a 60,000-word memoir that I'd written over the course of the 2 years, and it basically explored how to hold the fire without burning out, you know, and leaning into the tokotoko in quite a poetic way. Each of its 11 parts tells a tale. It was no mere coincidence that it had 11 parts to it and that I was the 11th poet laureate. So that kind of spun my kind of poet mind into overdrive in terms of creating connections and synergies there. But it was like I was just about to leave his office, because we were like, yep, let's do this book this year, next year. Love the stories in it. And I stepped out and then I kind of backtracked. I said, oh, by the way, I've just been kind of playing around with this thing. He's like, well, what thing? I was like, oh, just a couple of drawings and a kind of storyboarded a kind of graphic thing. And he's like, well, sit down and show me. And so I showed him the first draft and he was completely like, clear the decks, we need to do this right here, right now. This is something of its time. And he hadn't come across an author who was telling their story in this way, you know, in this graphic mini-memoir kind of way. And he was delighted by the drawings, quite charmed, quote-unquote. But, you know, I'm not an artist, I'm a doodler. And then I just kind of refined these drawings. And the question did come up a bit later as we developed the story more, whether we should contract the drawings out to a professional children's illustrator. And I was like, yeah, nah. Because the whole ethos behind this book is that if I can do it, you can do it. You know, it's about accessibility. So that's how that came about.
So, I mean, Are you a big reader of graphic novels, or was it comics when you were a kid? I mean, or has this just come out of the blue?
I used to make my own accordion books as a kid all the time. Like, Mum would bring home butcher's paper. She had a boyfriend who was a butcher, and just rolls and rolls of it. And so I would cut out long rectangles, fold them up, and then begin writing and drawing my own stories. But the problem was I would never, ever finish them. So I was such a perfectionist, it wasn't good enough, and that would just go into the rubbish. And a lot of creatives suffer from perfectionism. They never finish anything, you know. And so one of the underlying messages behind Mophead is that mistakes are made for making. Mistakes are made for making. that's how we make stuff. And Mopheads hair is, you know, an illustration of that. Started off as a scribble and developed into her hair, you know, this wild, chaotic scribbling hair.
Yeah. So you're going to be at the theatre this evening and reading from this.
Yes, I am.
Are you going to read us a little bit now?
Yeah, sure. Cool. Sure. I'll just read you the first couple of pages.
Yeah.
When I was 10, I was teased for having big hair. Not just thick, curly hair, but wild afakasi hair. Afakasi equals being Samoan plus something else. I got thick wavy hair from my Samoan Tuvaluan mum and thin curly hair from my New Zealand Scottish English French dad. And then there's this double out page that is pure graphic, right? So I kinda, my hair was so wild it defied gravity and didn't come back down to earth. So big it wouldn't fit under hats or caps. It broke the cute bows and clips other girls wore. Kids called me Mophead. I was tall, skinny and brown like the mop in our garage. It smelled like old socks. The mop had a head made from hundreds of cotton threads and a long body made of wood. Being called Mophead made me feel bad. I tried to ignore the teasing, but it got louder. I cut it. Some kids called me Fuzzy Wuzzy, Gollywog. I wore it in plaits like Pippi Longstocking. Some kids called me Pippi Blackstocking. So I tied it back in a tight bun. No one called me anything then. I was the same.
Wow, thank you. So are you going to be reading that tonight? That's going to be great.
Yeah.
So the book's out, isn't it? I mean, so...
This is the third launch.
Yeah.
We had a Unity Books launch in town. We had a charity event at Goldie's a few weeks ago. Someone loved the story so much, they bought 675 copies for every decile 1 to 3 school in New Zealand.
Brilliant.
Which made me want to put it in every single school in New Zealand and in the Pacific. So now we're running that.
Yep.
Tusitala.nz is where people can go to buy the book online if they wish. Come this afternoon, 4:30.
Yeah, it'll be a good Christmas present. Hey, so let's talk a little bit. You've got quite some CV and, you know...
Yeah.
You know, different from the average CV, you've got, you know, well, let's have a look at it in here. So you've been the New Zealand Poet Laureate. Not many people can say that. 11 people can say that. You're an officer of the New Zealand Order of Merit. I don't know how many people can say that, but not very many, I'm guessing. You performed the poem Unity for Queen Elizabeth at Westminster Abbey. You're the only person who can say that. Now, I've heard this story before, but the royals are in the news. So tell us a little, tell us about reading that poem for the Queen.
Oh, it was, you know, so I just, I gave a keynote for Creative Leadership New Zealand just in the weekend, gone in Wellington, and I told that story and I talked about how, you know, with being made Commonwealth Poet of 2016 comes this commission to write and perform a poem for the Queen, and, you know, which is a great honour. And I immediately zoned into the fact that I would have a global platform to talk about the things that matter to me the most, including what's happening with my grandfather, my namesake's island, my Tusitala grandfather's island of Tuvalu, and global climate change and rising sea levels, and how they're going to be the first environmental refugees in the world in 20 to 30 years estimated, right? And so I thought that's the best, like, can't get bigger than that. But then the palace had certain rules that I had to adhere to, and there were 5 of them. Do you want to hear all 5 or just...
You want to just write something about corgis? Was that one of them?
No. Well, the Queen sets the theme every year, and she has done since 1953 for each Commonwealth Observance Day. So they told me what the poem had to be called. So the theme was Unity. therefore the title must be Unity. And I was like, really? Because, like, you know, I'm a poet. We don't need to go through the front door sometimes. But anyway, that was okay. The second rule was that it had to appeal to the 1,000 school children from across the UK gathered in Westminster Abbey, as well as dignitaries, heads of state, prime ministers and the royal family. So the Duke of Edinburgh was turning 94 that year, and there would be nine-year-olds present as well. So I was thinking, wow, okay, a poem that appeals to nine-year-olds to 94-year-olds, that's a challenge. But that's okay, because I work with kids. Like, I'm at uni, but I outreach at primary school and intermediate schools, right? So I know that demographic. The third rule was that it had to be inclusive of the 53 member nations of the Commonwealth, because each member nation would be have a flag bearer that would come in the procession, and then the flags would be put there. And I thought, okay, yeah, I could do that. I could do it, like, I could list them all, 53 nations, do something from each country, or an acrostic poem or something like that, you know. And then they said the fourth rule was that it had to be under 3.5 minutes, because BBC were filming it live, and suddenly it got really hard. It was like, what the, how, what? Like, how do I do this? And then I thought, but you know what? I will jump through any hoop to get Tuvalu on the global stage and represent Oceania and New Zealand. And, you know, and then the fifth rule came in, and it was that the poem was not allowed to be political, which kind of, like, owie, you know, is. And I thought, is global climate change political? And that the palace would have full censorship rights over it. And I had to get the poem to them a month before the performance. But we did. And they only changed one word. And I didn't really need that word anyway. They just took out the word colonial, the colonial histories. I just talked about the histories.
So what kind of reception did you get from the Queen?
From Mum?
Yeah.
So it's in the book. So Mophead hones in on the one scene. And so the Queen asked me afterwards, she said, that was very good. And I thanked her, and she asked me, she said, how did you manage to memorise it all? And I replied, I'm a poet, Your Majesty, it's my job.
What about Prince Philip?
Oh, Prince Philip, so, you know, I'm just going to say this out loud, right? I'm the only 6 foot Samoan with big hair in electric blue who just performed the only poem in the whole event. And so when I met Prince Philip, he comes up to me and says, well, so what do you do? And I replied, well, I'm a poet, Your Highness. To which he replies, yes, yes, but what do you do? To which I might have replied, yes, well, what do you do? But I didn't, because I'm a well-mannered Samoan raised woman. And so I said to him, well, I'm a lecturer at the University of Auckland, and I specialise in post-colonial literature. To which he replied, post. And then he walks away. Like, just drops the mic like that and walks away. But it gives me the best story.
It is, it's
ever.
A great story.
And The Guardian published it, so it was
brilliant.
Spin around.
Yeah. Hey, and now you're kind of writing poems about a queen of a different sort. You've written a poem about or for Jacinda?
Oh my Lord. So yesterday was a remarkable day, a historic day. There was a complete media ban on it, but I'm part of a group called the Aunties, and about 6 months ago we decided we wanted to put our arms around our Prime Minister. And when we heard that she borrowed a korowai to go visit the Queen herself, we thought, well, our Prime Minister needs her own korowai. And so we contacted master weavers, and they began weaving this korowai out of kiwi feathers for woman to place around her shoulders. So the group grew to 165 women of note, filled with dames and amazingly famous and reputable and well-known women, plus a younger generation of women. So we're kind of passing on that flame. And my idea was to get every one of those 165 women to send me a line beginning with "I cloak you in," and I would curate this huge long poem, and we would perform it together for Jacinda at the bestowal of her korowai. And so that's what happened yesterday, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place.
Are you able to give us a few lines of that?
If I can remember, so "I cloak you in mana ki tanga, alofa, aroha. I cloak you in te moana nuia kiwa. I cloak you in kindness, transparency and destiny. I cloak you in the arms of all working mothers," you know. And it just went on and on and on. And then halfway through, because it was 9 stanzas of 18 lines, I then stopped and I turned to the 250 women on my left gathered at Orake Marae at Bastion Point. And I was in the middle, the Prime Minister was on my right and they were on my left, and I signalled to them to repeat in unison, "I cloak you in," and then I finished the line because I had the only copy of the poem. And then that just, I mean, it was like an incantation, so powerful. And Jacinda was weeping. And it, you know, that's what I do as a tusitala, right? The ala, I'm the last 3 letters of my name is the Proto-Polynesian word for pathway. And so it was my absolute honour to be able to be the pathway and the bridge between these women who'd gathered from all around New Zealand and our Prime Minister.
Great stuff. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Selena.
You're welcome.
And what time's your reading tonight?
I believe it's at 4:30.
Yep.
At the theatre, you say? Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. At Artworks, I thought, but I'm not too sure.
Okay.
It's around here somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They'll see you.
Come and get your copy for Christmas. Get it signed and autographed. It's $25. It's
brilliant.
And AUP have just such high production values.
It is. It looks stunning.
It's a hard-covered, beautiful memento copy, treasure.
It is. It really looks amazing. So, thank you so much for coming in.
Lovely.
It's been a pleasure.
You.
We're going to go out with one more from you. This is a favourite of mine. It's called Chant from Tiatia to Oropu. Thank you.
Chant from Tiatia to Oropu. Sea skin sheening, low clouds keening, fullers disemboweling, beached bodies toweling, te atawhai reserving, bus lines reversing, needle point stitching, mist bus hitching, thumbing the hills. Oneroa. Cafes people grinding, maps finger finding, shops hard rocking, kids lolly popping, gulls grub scrounging, lazy lattes lounging on a sea green couch. Fossil bay refueling, tracks view ruling, tires roundabouting, scallop shells shouting, toy toy cliff topping, beach store bottle shopping, little O drifting out of the bay. Marae black pooling, kohanga reo schooling, enclosure enfolding, sandy stingray moulding, Miami Ave vicing, speck of sea pricing, water tanks imploding, Hughes takeaways offloading, nudie beach reclining, red shed sirening, horizoning sands. Ostend. Houseboats duck feeding, Austin rugby leaguing, Heke rams firing, Anzac Bay retiring, market stalls allotting, supermarkets squatting, parked cars rashing, transfer station trashing, Tony Hawk's grinding at Tawai Pareira. Headless tiger flexing, fuming motors vexing, One Tree Mountain standing, dozer teeth manhandling, agents picket signing, cyclists white lining, horses rocky baying, flounder seabed raying,
motorway golf coursing, Vineyard Valley morsling, tidal pools consoling, sore red feet. Graves grass laying, wool sheds fraying, Samoans kickboxing, spirits flying foxing, lava lavas lifting, dunes shape shifting, Pohutukawa's latching, honeymooners batching at 45 degrees. Onitangi supining, blue sky divining, pule tapa talking, metaphor stalking, cows fly jerking, kereru flirting, roads loop looping, sparrows hula hooping, round and round, bottom end, sheep navel gazing, hills boulder grazing, stony batter frying, torches fading dying, lizard gravel hissing, olive groves kissing, grapes wine sunning, Clive wharf to wharf running, Otapu poking out its fork plank tongue.